Democratic state lawmakers took action this year to ensure that previous endorsements of holding a constitutional convention where the U.S. Constitution could get updated couldn't be used to justify holding future constitutional conventions. For more on the procedural move, which divided Democrats and Republicans in Albany, we're joined on the Capitol press room by the assembly champion of this effort, Rockland County Democrat Ken Zebrowski. Welcome back to the show, Assemblymember.
Great to be here again.
So in America's 200-plus years of history, the state legislature has passed multiple resolutions calling for a constitutional convention. You sponsored a resolution that essentially nullifies those past requests. Is that a fair description of your resolution? And if so, why was it needed?
Yeah, I think it's fair. What the resolution did was it affirmatively nullified prior calls. I think common sense would have told people that they were null and void because there's been, you know, well over a couple hundred years in some cases, and at its most recent 50 years, the last one was 1972. But there has been an effort to call an Article 5 convention, and anybody who's watched our political process play out in this country over the past several years, I think should agree with me that if we had a constitutional convention, we are throwing our entire nation into chaos. And the fear is that somebody may use these prior calls from convention, 1789, 1931, 1972, to count towards the 34-state threshold. And that there wouldn't be really a review process that the House of Representatives could just declare that it counts, and that the Supreme Court may decline to even take it up, throwing us into this very chaotic place where who knows what would come out of a constitutional convention. You know, certainly I think people quibble with certain parts of the Constitution, but I think it's been an enduring document that served us well, and I would be one that would favor the status quo over that future possible chaos.
Well, given the fact that those three previous resolutions all came with at least some explanation about why the legislature was calling for a convention, what sort of successful legal argument could be made that those resolutions were intended to have much broader, longer-lasting consequences? And if there isn't a strong or even meaningful legal argument, why even take action at all?
Because I don't think it would necessarily be something that somebody would be arguing about before a judge. So if they counted this because there was no expiration, I mean, that would be the essentially the argument. There were no definitive expirations on any of these calls, so they remain. But once again, I don't think this would be before a judge, right? This would be essentially before Congress. And if Congress ratified that, then what would happen? If somebody attempted to go to the Supreme Court, you could see the Supreme Court saying, this isn't a justiciable issue. We're not going to take this up. There's a separation of powers here. This is in the Constitution. And I think this was really looked at as, you know, let's not take any chances. This is too important to take any chances. And we're not the only state that has done this. Several other states have done this as well.
So what is the concern about having a constitutional convention? Why is there fear that that would be a process that would be problematic?
Well, because anything could go at that point. If you think about the one constitutional convention we had, where the Articles of Confederation were thrown out and our current constitution was put in place, it was a complete rewriting of the way our country functions. Now, I would argue that that was a positive that we did that way back then. But given the polarization that is around and given the fact that there would be equal representation, essentially at a convention of the states, everything would be on the table. Every right that somebody has today, they could possibly not have tomorrow. And honestly, I think given the polarization in the country, it could lead to secession in some ways, right? What if a bunch of states decided they were, you know, gonna not participate? Maybe, you know, some of the states ratified it and some didn't, and we went down a very dangerous path. I just think it's not worth the risk.
During the floor debate, a couple of the Republicans who spoke about this measure noted that they had heard from people in their district who want to have a constitutional convention. Have you heard from people who want to have a convention? And if so, what was the arguments that they made for having another convention?
I can't think of any specific constituent that has contacted me or called me or that I've had a conversation. But I've certainly had some of these listserv type emails from folks that support it. You know, there are some PACs, political action committees out there that support this type of convention. Now, what I would say is I think we should, if you agree with your constituents, then you should put forth a resolution. I think everybody in the legislature should at least agree that the ones from 1789, 1931, and 1972 shouldn't be used. So I was disappointed that it was a partisan vote, because I think at the very least you should rescind those. And then if you want to have a debate about a future one, let's have it.
So how did you end up carrying this resolution? Are you just a diehard James Madison fan and wanted his work just protected, or was something else at play here?
So I've had it for a few years now. I think it came there. There are several groups that are concerned about this issue. Common Cause is one of them. I think they had some conversations with the Judiciary Committee, and somehow someone said Ken Zebrowski might be a good person to pick up this bill. We had a conversation, and it went from there.
And why was this the year that the resolution actually moved?
Well, I had been, busting my staff and leadership's chops over the past several years to get it on the floor. It was also, I feel like it was just something that the debate time was never set aside. It's obviously a bit odd, a bit weird. Even the week of the vote, members were asking me what the issue was. And I think there was a fear that it would devolve into some 4 or 5 hour debate over federal issues when we have a lot of important New York State work. I never thought it was going to be that long of a debate. I think it was fairly straightforward. So even though there were a bunch of no votes, the debate was only about a half hour.
Yeah, it'd be terrible if the legislature had to spend extra time in the Capitol debating stuff. It would be, oh, what a shanda. This resolution is kind of in keeping with your time running the Government Operations Committee in the Assembly. So did you find any interest in the actual administration of government operations, either through that committee or just being a political nerd?
Oh, 100%. I would agree that I'm a political nerd in some ways, or a governmental nerd in some places. So I just find the inner workings of government to be interesting, whether it's on the local level or here in the state legislature, the interplay with the executive branch and the legislative branch. Some of the most challenging but most fun times I've had in the legislature were, you know, trying to figure out the appropriate level of the governor's powers post-COVID, debating that bill, I think, for 7 hours on the Assembly floor when I was chair there, and, you know, working with the Assembly staff and the Speaker to come up with that compromise. And, you know, it was Governor Cuomo at the time dealing with his office, and with the governor at that time having conversations with former Governor Cuomo about, you know, that debate and that issue. I just always found that stuff interesting. Obviously, I did the Legislative Task Force on Redistricting as well. So while it can be a little bit dry, I think it's important, and I nerd out on it a little bit.
Well, now that you're leaving the Assembly, what are you going to do with that knowledge? Who can you bore with all the intricacies of the Assembly operations?
I figured you'll have me as a regular guest on your podcast, and we could talk about these things more.
Well, with that promise of future episodes, we're going to leave this conversation. We've been speaking with Assemblymember Ken Zebrowski. He is a Rockland County Democrat and future co-host of the Capitol Press Room. Assemblymember, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, sir.
And for more Capitol Press Room content, visit capitolpressroom.org or wherever you download your favorite podcasts. And if you listen to us from an Apple device, make sure to leave us a rating and a review so it helps other people find the show.
Support for the Capitol Press Room provided by the New York State AFL-CIO, a federation of 3,000 unions fighting for working people by keeping New York State union strong. More information at unionstrongny.org. And by the New York State United Teachers, a statewide union of nearly 700,000 professionals in education and healthcare.